From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to welcome you to Let the Bible Speak. For some weeks now, we have been considering the life of Christ, and that's going to be the continued story of these gospel programs for quite a while to come. It's a wonderful and fascinating study, a biographical consideration of Christ as He set forth in the Gospels. This week we're looking at the miracle of the healing of the nobleman's son, what it says to us about the Lord Jesus. And our subject has been, and will be through the rest of this week, healing a son, saving a father. So stay with us as we, in a few minutes, turn to the Word of God. However, our hot topic for today comes first. Does Jesus Christ Superstar bring many to Christ? According to the actor who plays Jesus Christ in the international tour of Jesus Christ Superstar, the rock opera has been the means of leading many people to Christianity. Ted Neely claims it has, quotes, brought more people to Christianity than any other concept, because it takes Jesus off the stained glass window and puts him on the street where people walk. According to Neely, many who view Jesus Christ Superstar are changed by the focus on Christ's humanity versus a church sermon that focuses on Christ's divinity. Neely says that in church, a preacher will often tell the story along with his opinion and lose believers. This is rich coming from the man who has blasphemously portrayed the Lord Jesus Christ around the world, first in film and then on stage. He implies that Jesus Christ Superstar just tells the story without opinion. The truth is that the Jesus it portrays is not the Jesus of history. He is not the Jesus of Scripture. He is the figment of the imagination of Tim Rice, who wrote the lyrics for Andrew Lloyd Webber's rock music. Rice's view of Jesus is abundantly plain. According to Rice, he is just a man. He's a confused man. Rice and his rock opera suggest that the Jesus they present had an illicit relationship with Mary Magdalene, whom they defame as a prostitute. The whole rock opera purports to be the story of Jesus Christ's last days from the viewpoint of Judas Iscariot, which is just another way of saying that it's Satan's presentation of the story. That's why Rice left his script with Jesus on the cross, a dead and defeated man, not a risen conquering Savior. That's why it presents him as no more than a man. Tom Neely may rejoice that the Jesus he acts is merely human, but such a man can never be a Savior. He's certainly not the Christ of Scripture. He's an impostor, a superstar, to fit the ideas of those whose deepest thought must be conveyed as Hollywood-style entertainment, in contrast to the Christ of Scripture, who is God manifested in the flesh. Now, here is a telling fact. Any time I raise a protest against Jesus Christ Superstar, I get angry mail from his devotees. They tell me it's just a play, not a theology course. Yet they tell me of the wonderful experiences they have had in watching it. They insist that it is, as Neely claims, a means of bringing people to Christ, despite the fact that its author, Tim Rice, said the opposite. I have corresponded with some who have acted in the play, or help to produce it. I'll tell you what I have found. I have found in them such a passion to defend Tim Rice's blasphemy that they adopt base, unworthy, and utterly heretical views of the person of Christ. And that raises a serious question. Admitting that God can use any means he wills to awaken a sinner to his need of Christ, this question still demands an answer. What kind of Christ does Jesus Christ Superstar bring people to and lead them to believe in? If they have come to think on Christ and have received him as he's presented in Scripture, I rejoice, and they should be the first people to agree with me that Jesus Christ Superstar does not present the Christ of God on whom they depend for the salvation of their souls. If, after all, they are trusting in a superstar who died in defeat and confusion, rebelling against God, they are in a dangerous state. All the more reason for Christians everywhere to rise up to expose Tim Rice's rock opera for the blasphemy that it really is.
Jesus is my loving Savior. He is so precious to me. Oh, how I love and adore him.
Jesus, nearer than all to me, Jesus.
during this month of April, we have been making a very special offer to you here in Let the Bible Speak. We want you to know that we do appreciate you listening in and making this program part of your day. We appreciate those who pray for us, and we want to let you know in a very practical way. Some time ago, I produced a book on the Lord's Prayer. The Lord has greatly used it, and we have heard from many of God's people of the blessing that has been in their lives. So we're making this special offer through the month of April, and since 1 week starts with the last day of April, we're going to be generous, and while our stocks last, we're going to extend it into that first week in May. The book, The Lord's Prayer, is available to those who write or call or email and simply tell us they would like to have it. So you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may call us toll free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we trust that you'll be richly blessed as you study the Lord's Prayer.
Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears, the living sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. Finding wounds he bears, received on Calvary, they pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die. I now am reconciled, God's parting voice I hear, he owns me as his child.
It's time to turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 4, the healing of the nobleman's son by the Lord Jesus Christ. This week we're noting three great things that that miracle teaches us about the Lord Jesus. So stay with us now as we turn to God's Word.
We think of the healing of a son and the saving of a father and what they say to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing they say to me about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he has sovereign power over sickness and over death. Second thing this says to me is that Christ's word carries absolute authority. Standing in Cana of Galilee, at least a day's journey away from where this child was, you're not depending on my imagination to say that. The disciple or the servants of this man met him the following day. And they said, yesterday the fever left him. And they were able to say it was at the seventh hour. Now, there's a little discussion, and I'm not going to get into it. Scholars dispute whether in the Gospel of John time is given according to the Jewish or the Roman way of calculating time. If it's the Jewish way, then this was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Many people, and I think possibly correctly, believe it is the Jewish way. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but he still couldn't get back. So it's a long journey here. Standing at all that distance, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy son liveth." Just like that, the fever left him. This is the command of the omnipotent. By the mere authority of his word, he drove back death and he gave life instantaneously. That's the authority of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the Savior does that every single time he saves a soul. Every time. You remember those famous words in Ezekiel chapter 16? Verse 5 and verse 6. God describing the situation of Israel. But you can see a spiritual description of every individual Christian. "None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion on thee. Thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live." Now that's the Savior's testimony regarding how you and I have come to have eternal life. "I saw you cast out a thing of loathing. I saw you in your desperate state, polluted. And I had compassion on you. And I spoke and I said just exactly what I said about this dying child. Live." That's the testimony. That's why I love the Reformed faith and I love the doctrine of the regenerating grace of God. And I hate with all my heart the synergistic heresy that makes man's salvation the result of a cooperative effort between God and the dying or dead sinner. What could that little child lying at the point of death there in Capernaum, what could he do to drive out the awful fever? What could he do to drive back the pale horse rider and say, "Death be gone"? What could he do? Not a thing. What could that one in Ezekiel 16 do? Cast out to die like an aborted child, wallowing in its own blood, polluted and hated and despised. What could that little infant do to bring itself to life? Not a thing. What could a poor sinner do to bring life to a soul that is dead in trespasses, to a soul that's cast out to perish for all eternity? Not a thing. But what can the Son of God do? He can say the word, and he who commanded the light to shine out of darkness can command light and life in the souls of dead men. Bring them to life. He says, live. Live. I can't understand why some Christians hate the doctrine of an effectual call. To believe any other than the effectual call that brings a sinner to life is to limit the authority of the word of Christ. when Jesus says, live, I want to tell you, all hell could stand on its head. It will not stop that soul from living. When Jesus says, live, every force on earth can oppose the giving of life, but those forces will retreat in utter defeat. For this is the word of the King. Where the word of a king is, there's power. This is the King of Kings. This is the power of all powers. This is the authority of the word of the living Christ. The absolute power. That's the word that created the worlds. We read this in Psalm 33, 8 and 9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And what He did in the first creation, thank God He does in the new creation. Furthermore, this is the word that upholds creation. This universe of ours is an amazing place. And the more, never get, by the way, just a little word of caution, never fall for the propaganda of the pit that you're constantly having thrown at you. That because astronomers have been able to put up Hubble telescopes and they have been able to look out into space and they've been able to formulate theories that may be right, wrong or whatever, that they can understand the universe. You know, the more men of science understand about anything, whether it is the most microcosmic bit of creation or the vast reaches of space, the more they learn, the more they realize they can't begin to understand. This is an amazing place in which we live. From the single cell right through to the vast bodies of the heavens. Everything in motion. What holds it all together? Colossians 1:17, Jesus Christ. How does He do it? Hebrews 1:3, He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. The Lord isn't running around the universe at lightning speed, fixing this and fixing that. I'm trying to catch up with this error and that error and facing that problem and dealing with the other challenge. The Lord is not doing that. By the word of His power, by the strength of His sovereign decree, He upholds all things. Oh, the power of the word of Christ. And again, what He does in the natural creation, He does in the spiritual creation. What holds the soul of a Christian in grace? The very same word of power. The word that says, live, upholds you in life. And that, for all eternity. I love to think of that. The power of the sovereign word of Christ upholding and guaranteeing the life, the well-being, the security, the eternal welfare of the weakest, trembling soul trusting in Him. What power is that? Thank God nothing can gainsay or overthrow this word. The 33rd Psalm, verse 11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of His heart to all generation. When Jesus says to the Father in John 17 in His great high priestly prayer concerning His believing people, given to Him in the covenant of grace by the decree of election from all eternity, He says, Father, I will that those whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am. Who's going to be in heaven? I can't tell you all their names, but I can tell you everyone that Jesus Christ has asked to be with Him in heaven will be there. Now the devil doesn't want them there. And all hell is raging against their getting there. And there are pitfalls and there are snares. And there are many oppositions. But the word of the King cannot be gainsaid or overthrown. Because when he commands, it is done. And none can say to him, stay his hand, or say to him, what doest thou?
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.